book of Colossians chapter 4 verse 2 is where we begin our study today. Continuing the study entitled More, it's study of book of Colossians. And the goal, the desire is of course that we desire more of Jesus in our day-to-day lives. And that is the ultimate goal of this study. We have today and one more message and we finish up this book of Colossians. We begin reading in Colossians chapter 4 verse 2. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God? Paul's writing, he said, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we praise you because you are God. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your blessings toward us. And now as we come to you, Lord, we pray that you would open our minds and our hearts to your Word. Give us insight. Give us understanding. Show us things we've never seen before, that we may indeed draw nearer to you. Lord, I pray for every spiritual need present here today. I pray that you would draw all men to you, and that we will respond to your leading. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, this has been all about having more in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you're going to have more in your relationship with Jesus Christ, first of all, let me ask you, would you like to be closer to Jesus? Amen. Amen. Good. That's a great answer. But that will not be found if your only spiritual walk is on Sundays when you come to church. You'll not draw near to Jesus that way. Even if you come Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, it has to be more. You see, there has to be a daily dedication, whereas Jesus is, I want to say a part, but it's not just a part. Jesus is the part of every day. That you don't go a day without having fellowship and interaction with Jesus. You know, and that's the thing that makes us intimate. And as I look and I think about where I am at this point in my life, and have been married 37 years, and you know, I don't go a day without talking to Beth. Now, some days I may talk more than others, but I don't go a day without saying something to her. Why? Because she's my wife. Listen, Jesus is your God. Don't go a day without having fellowship and interacting with Jesus Christ, because if you do, you've wasted that day. How do we do that? How do we accomplish this more? Well, we start with a daily devotion and a devotion in prayer. How many of you are happy with your prayer life? Raise your hand and say amen. Okay, we all need this then, okay? Can we all agree? Raise your hand. We need this part, right? All right. There must be a daily devotion in your prayer life, a persistent prayer life. Paul said in verse 2, he said, "Continue earnestly in prayer." Devote yourself to prayer is literally what it means. And, you know, we live in an all-consuming world. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and I notice it more, but I've never seen a pace of life like we have today. I mean, there's always something to do. And if we're not careful, this life will demand all of our time. It will demand all of our attention. And it will demand all of our effort. And there will be nothing left for God. I was thinking about this. And you know, if I'm not real careful, I will very seldom live in the moment. I will live in what I'm going to do an hour from now. Do you do that? This is what I'm doing, but this is what I got to do. or what I've got to do tomorrow, or a week from now, or next month, or even next year, and I'll have it all in my mind, and so much so that I'm not where I am, if that makes any sense to you. What I'm saying is this. There has to be a time when you close the door. And listen to me, everybody, please listen to me. There has to be a time when you close the door, shutting out the world, shutting out your kids, shutting out your spouse, where it's just you and God. There has to be that time every day. And so many people don't have that. As a matter of fact, we've become addicted to this fast-paced lifestyle, so much so that if there is a moment of quiet and calm, we almost feel guilty. Do you ever sit around and, you know, you have a couple hours, you don't have anything to do, and you sit down and you think, boy, I feel like I should do something. Almost feel guilty because you're not doing anything. It's that lifestyle that we live. We don't know how to be quiet. And so we try to fill every waking moment with something. For example, you get in the car, what's the first thing you do? Besides, put it in drive, put your seatbelt on. That's what I'm talking about, okay? You get in the car, is not the first thing you do turn on the radio? Or plug in a CD or something? And I'll tell you, I'm guilty. And I want you to understand, I'm relating to what I do. I love listening to preachers. Am I the only one here that loves listening to preachers? I like hearing podcasts and things, Charles Stanley, Adrian Rogers, and others. There's a lot of good preachers out there. Boy, every time I get in the truck, I'm plugging in, you know, I'm syncing my little phone so that I can listen to all these preachers. I also love Southern gospel music. Y'all can agree with me there, right? Everybody loves Southern gospel, quartet music. And so I plug that in. My point being, if I'm not real careful, and I've got to drive to Little Rock or somewhere else, that's a perfect quiet time. A perfect time to turn off the radio, turn off the preachers. That's hard to say, turn off preachers, right? For me. It's a perfect time for me to just drive and say, God, speak to me. God, I don't want to hear from anybody else but you. Lord, work in me. Tell me what I don't know. Teach me what I need to learn. What I'm saying, build in that quiet time. At home, what's the first thing we do? Turn on the TV. Turn on the TV. Why? Because we've got to have something entertaining this mind. If it's not the TV, it's an iPad, an iPhone, and we're texting or surfing the internet, and we filled our life to the point that God, there is no room for God anymore. Do you do that? Can you imagine? Have you ever been in a conversation or actually been wanting to speak to someone that you could not get a word in edgewise? They were always talking, or somebody else around them was always talking. You're like, and there's no space in there. You couldn't interject your conversation with that person. I think that's the way our life is quite often. Between all we fill our life with, you know, when would God speak to you? When you're unconscious, asleep? Because everything else is filled. First thing we've got to have is a persistent prayer life where it's just you and God. Where we're quiet and we learn how to be quiet and just sit there and talk to God. You'll be amazed what that does for your spiritual health. Not only a persistent prayer life, but we have to have a vigilant prayer life. Paul said there again in verse 2, being vigilant in it, in prayer, with thanksgiving. That word, vigilant, here's where it really hits home. That word, vigilant, means to be awake or to be watchful. Have you ever prayed a prayer, said amen, and at the end of that prayer didn't know what you said? Do you do that? I mean, spout off a lot of churchy words and, you know, say what you think God wants to hear, but at the end you're like, yeah, I hope God got something because I didn't. It's not God's problem, it's our problem. That word vigilant, it literally means to be awake, to be watchful. The idea is to be aware of God. Are you aware of God when you pray? Are you aware that you have literally entered into the presence of the Master of the universe? Who are you that God would give you audience? But He does. Be aware of God. Prayer is not some religious ritual. Prayer is your opportunity of interaction. Be vigilant. Be awake. With all thanksgiving. See, our problem is, oh, we spout off those prayers, but we're not awake. And we seldom notice what God is doing. That's the idea. It's sitting down and being with God and noticing where God is working. Do you see God working in your life? Do you know what God has done? Do you stop and think, wow, I am what I am by the grace of God? Do you look at your children and say, praise God for my children? You look at your wife or your spouse, praise God, He gave me such a wonderful spouse. Praise God, He gave me such a wonderful work place to work. Praise God for everything that He's done. You see, you've heard the old saying before, you need to stop and smell the roses. We need to stop and be aware of God. That's the idea there. Oh, He's good. Everything, and you know, and as I thought about this, I thought, wow, you know, even down to the very next breath that I take is by the grace of Almighty God. Oh, who am I that God is so good? I'm a nobody and so undeserving. So how can I be anything else but grateful and appreciate what God has done? Listen, if you don't count your blessings, you will not thank God for them, okay? So let our prayer life, let's be persistent. Let's be awake in our prayer life. And let's be relevant in our prayer life. I love this part too, also, verse 3. Paul said, Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word to speak the mystery of Christ. Paul could have, you know, and he's told him how to pray. But he gets down to this part and he said, oh, by the way, please pray for us. And you got to understand where Paul is coming from here. He's under arrest. He's in chains. He's chained to a Roman soldier every day. Every so many hours, 6 hours or so, a new set of Roman soldiers come in and he's chained to them. He's in prison. And so Paul at this point could have prayed for anything he wanted to pray. He could have asked them to pray for anything, all of his problems. Okay? But he didn't. He could have said, oh, you know, this prison life is really bad. I hate being in prison. Y'all pray that God will get me out of jail. He didn't ask that. He didn't pray that, boy, you know, these are just horrible conditions in this jail. Pray that the conditions in the jail will improve. He didn't. He said, ask them to pray that God would open a door for the gospel. Wow. Oh, by the way, please pray for me that God will open to me a door that I can tell people about Jesus. And you know what? They prayed for Paul and God opened that door. You can read about it in Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. I'll read that to you. This is what it says. Paul is speaking there and he says, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. See, over here he's asking the Colossians, please pray for me that God will open a door. And then in Philippians he said, boy, those Roman guards know who Jesus is now, because God had opened that door. Do you know why we don't see the power of God today in our lives? I'm thoroughly convinced that we pray for the wrong things. We pray for things like, oh Lord, I'm sick, please heal me. We pray for things like, oh Lord, I'm broke, please pay my electric bill. But very seldom do we pray, oh Lord God, open a door that I may tell people about Jesus. We don't ever pray that prayer. You see, our prayers are very self-centered. And you know, people, I've heard people say, well, you know, I pray and God didn't answer my prayer. I prayed to be healed and He didn't give me health. And I prayed for a new job and God didn't do anything. Could it be that you're praying for the wrong thing? We're not here for God to spoil us. Don't you love spoiled children? Most of us, if we've got them, have got spoiled children, right? A little bit. And we won't even start with our grandchildren, but it's okay because they're grandchildren, right? Sometimes I think that's the way we treat God, this spoiled little child. God, I want, I want, I want. God, give me, give me, give me. God, I need more, more, more. And we don't stop and realize we are here to be servants, to share the gospel. Lord, open the door that I may tell somebody about the plan of salvation. Let me tell you something. Make your prayer relevant. Prayer is not the primary option in an emergency, but prayer is your primary weapon in the war against Satan. Prayer is not something you pull out when you're in trouble. Prayer is something you pull out when you want to do battle. That's the way Paul thought. It's the way Paul used prayer. If we're going to draw near to the Lord, if we're going to have that intimate relationship, we're going to have a prayer life. Number two, not only a daily devotion in our prayers, but a devotion in our purpose. Paul said in verse 5, walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. How do you walk in wisdom? Well, you redeem the time. What does that mean? It literally means making the most of, or taking full advantage of every opportunity. The thing that was unique about the Apostle Paul is he never saw people like Roman soldiers. He saw opportunity. He did not see opposition. He saw opportunity. He did not see harsh circumstances. He focused on his opportunity. I recall Paul and Barnabas. You remember the story of how they were beaten one time and then they were thrown into prison? And at midnight, what were they doing? What? No, at midnight, what were they doing? They were singing praises to God. Imagine if that were you. I'd be singing the blues. Wouldn't you? Not Paul. Paul was in the depth of that prison, as deep in there as he could be. He was just beaten that evening before they threw him in there. And Paul decides at midnight, hey, you know what we could do? We could just praise the Lord. So that's what they did. They began to sing praises to the Lord, and God sent an earthquake and shook that jail, and the doors were open and the chains fell off. And Paul said, come on, Barnabas, God has answered our prayers. Let's get out of here. No, he didn't. Chains fell off, the doors were open, and that jailer said, oh no, I'm in trouble. These people are going to escape and they're going to have me executed because I failed at my job. So he draws out his sword and almost kills himself, and Paul calls out, "Stop!" What would you call out? "Do it!" Paul, "Stop! We're all here. Nobody's ran. Nobody's gone. It's okay." And you know what happened to that jailer? He put down his sword. He invited Paul, Barnabas, to go to his house. And that man was saved. Because Paul didn't see a prison. He didn't see an earthquake. He didn't even see the jail, the chains falling off. He saw an opportunity. There's a man with purpose there. Listen, you are here. You are here to tell people about Jesus, if you're a child of God. In a world whose time is consumed with ungodliness, immorality, selfishness, pride, and the challenge here is just simply take back the time that has been given out to Satan. I want to tell you something. You are where you are for a reason. Are you with me? You are where you are for a reason. You may not like it. That's not important. You may really love where you are. Really doesn't matter. The circumstances that you're facing, you may think, I'll be glad when this is over. Well, wait, don't live in when this is over. Live for the here and now and take a look at where God is working around you. God has people in your life for you to share Jesus Christ with. Let me ask you, when's the last time you invited someone to church? When's the last time? Could it be that we're not living with purpose? When's the last time you shared your faith? Could it be that you're not seeing the hand of God as He opens the doors around you? Listen, don't look at the hardship. Don't look at your circumstance. Don't look at what you lack. See the opportunity where you are. Walk in wisdom. You got this one life. This is your one shot. You know it? Amen? This is your one shot. And what's going to happen is this life is going to be over and there are no do-overs. See the opportunities that God lays before you and live with purpose. Then finally, speak with seasoning. Paul said, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt." I love that. It just sounds good. Salt's a wonderful thing, right? It's wonderful what it does to food. It preserves it. But more importantly, it makes it taste good. And you're looking at a guy that's a saltaholic. I like salt, you know? Because it just adds flavor. You have no salt, it just doesn't taste. It's bland. What is he saying here? There are a lot of bland Christians in the world today. And of which their faith never comes up in conversation. You know, don't you think about your people at work and that you work with and the dirty jokes that are common and the rudeness that's common, the pride, the selfishness, just the conversations that are worldly. You know what they need? They need a little salt. They need a little godly salt, a little godly seasoning. Look for those avenues to inject God into the conversation. You see, that's what happens when we look for those opportunities. Recall that woman at the well in John chapter 4 again. Do you remember how that conversation started? Here's a Samaritan woman that nobody, no self-respecting Jew would talk to. And it says in the beginning of that encounter, Jesus told his disciples, "I must needs go through Samaria. I got to go through Samaria." The reason he had to go through Samaria, he knew this woman was going to be at the well. He gets to the well, and that woman walks up in the middle of the day, and nobody would have given her the time of day. But as she come to that well, Jesus said, "Hey, give me a drink of water." And you know what the result of that wound up being? That statement, give me a drink of water. They had this big, long, religious, spiritual conversation that ultimately wound up in John chapter 4, verse 39. It says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. And it started with a conversation. Give me a drink of water. Let me ask you. Are you proactive in your faith? You don't have to be this offensive religious nut that's jumping on everybody and telling everybody you're going to hell in a handbasket and offended people. No. But you do need to be able to season up the conversation by sharing Jesus. Listen, if you want more of Jesus, you got to be willing to take advantage of the opportunities that Jesus sets before you. How are we doing? I'll be honest with you, as I prepared this message, everything in this message just kind of turned right back around and hit me. How many opportunities have I missed because I didn't just take the time to say hello to a person? How are you today? And I'm in the middle, I'm out among town and running errands, and I'm busy, and I don't take the time when I'm checking out to even say to the checkout lady, have a blessed day. You know? You see, I'm caught in this trap of worldly living. Oh, I'm not talking about immorality. I'm not talking about ungodly. You know, I'm just talking about letting things fall by the wayside and opportunities missed because I'm not aware of where I am and why God's got me there. Today, if we're going to have more of God, there has to be a daily devotion. Starts today. You can't go back and change yesterday, the day before, the week before. It's got to start today. Are you a child of God? If not, Jesus Christ gave His life upon Calvary. He paid your sin debt. He died for you because you're a sinner. We all are. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Would you come? Would you receive Jesus as your Savior? Listen, one-on-one, listen to me. If you're not saved, you need to take care of that today. Because we don't know what will happen when we leave this place. We're not guaranteed another opportunity. This may be your one and only opportunity to take advantage of it. You may be here today and you've been putting off things. Maybe the Lord's leading you to become a member of this church and He's had it on your heart for the last month and you've made every possible excuse you could possibly make and you put it off and don't waste the opportunity. Maybe you're here today and you've never followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. You've never went public with your faith. There are a lot of people that don't know that you belong to Jesus because you've never been public identification through baptism. Don't miss the opportunity. God has brought you here today. I'm not going to pretend like I'm the Holy Spirit. I can't look at you and tell you what your need is. But Jesus can. And right now, He's stirring in your heart. Will you say yes to Jesus? Will you respond? Another one of our great faults is that we think, okay, I've heard the word. I've listened. And, I'll try to do better. No. What I want to challenge you to do today is respond to Jesus. That's your place. The Spirit has done its work. Right now, He's spoken to your heart. Will you respond in this invitation? Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for Your presence today. Thank You. Thank You for the privilege of being a part of Your kingdom. And Lord, we waste so many opportunities
Because we're oblivious oftentimes, so caught up in the busyness of our daily life. And Lord, forgive us. Today we want to repent and we want to take advantage of every opportunity that You lay before us. Lord, I pray that today in this invitation, You'll give us a heart to respond. Help us, Lord, to make the moves that You're leading us to make. Those to be saved who need to be saved. Those who need to follow You in baptism. I mean, give them courage to step out and take their stand for Jesus. To You be all glory and praise in Jesus' name.